better bet than any two magic swords you cared to name. He sat down again. Up, he commanded. The carpet did not respond. Rincewind peered at the pattern, then lifted a corner of the carpet and tried to make out if the underside was any better. All right, he conceded. Down, very, very carefully, down. Sheep, slurred War. It was sheep. His helmeted head hit the bar with a clang. He raised it again. Sheep.
No, no, no,
said Famine, raising a thin finger unsteadily.
Some other tame animal. Like pig. Heifer. Kitten. Like that. Not sheep.
Bees,
said Pestilence, and slid gently out of his seat.
Okay, said War, ignoring him. Right, once again then, from the top.
He rapped the side of his glass for the note.
We are poor little unidentified domesticated animals that have lost our way, he quavered. Bah, bah, bah,
muttered Pestilence from the floor. War shook his head.
It isn't the same, you know, he said. Not without him. He used to come in beautifully on the bass. Bah, bah, bah,
Pestilence repeated.
Oh, shut up,
said War, and reached uncertainly for a bottle. The gale buffeted the top of the tower, a hot, unpleasant wind that whispered with strange voices and rubbed the skin like fine sandpaper. In the centre of it, Coin stood with the staff over his head. As dust filled the air, the wizards saw the lines of magic force pouring from it. They curved up to form a vast bubble that expanded until it must have been larger than the city, and shapes appeared in it. They were shifting and indistinct, wavering horribly like visions in a distorting mirror, no more substantial than smoke rings or pictures in the clouds, but they were dreadfully familiar. There, for a moment, was the fanged snout of Offler. There, clear for an instant in the writhing storm, was blind Io, chief of the gods, with his orbiting eyes. Coin muttered soundlessly, and the bubble began to contract. It bulged and jerked obscenely as the things inside it fought to get out, but they could not stop the contraction. Now it was bigger than the university grounds. Now it was taller than the tower. Now it was twice the height of a man, and smoke grey. Now it was an iridescent pearl, the size of... well, the size of a large pearl. The gale had gone, replaced by a heavy, silent calm. The very air groaned with the strain. Most of the wizards were flat on the floor, pressed there by the unleashed forces that thickened the air and deadened sound like a universe of feathers. But every one of them could hear his own heart beating loud enough to smash the tower.
"Look at me!"
Coin commanded. They turned their eyes upwards. There was no way they could disobey. He held the glistening thing in one hand. The other held the staff, which had smoke pouring from its ends.
"The gods," he said, "imprisoned in a thought, and perhaps they were never more than a dream."
His voice became older, deeper.
"Wizards of Unseen University," it said, "have I not given you absolute dominion?"
Behind him, the carpet rose slowly over the side of the tower, with Rincewind trying hard to keep his balance. His eyes were wide with the sort of terror that comes naturally to anyone standing on a few threads and several hundred feet of empty air. He lurched off the hovering thing and then onto the tower, swinging the loaded sock around his head in wide, dangerous sweeps. Coin saw him reflected in the astonished stares of the assembled wizards. He turned carefully and watched the wizards stagger erratically towards him.
"Who are you?" he said.
"I have come," said Rincewind thickly, "to challenge the sorcerer. Which one is he?"
He surveyed the prostrate wizardry, hefting the half-brick in one hand. Arcardly risked a glance upwards and made frantic eyebrow movements at Rincewind, who even at the best of times wasn't much good at interpreting non-verbal communication. This wasn't the best of times.
"With a sock," said Coin. "What good... is a sock?"
The arm holding the staff rose. Coin looked down at it in mild astonishment.
"No, stop," he said. "I want to talk to this man."
He stared at Rincewind, who was swaying back and forth under the influence of sleeplessness, horror, and the after effects of an adrenaline overdose.
"Is it magical?"